There have been good and bad kings throughout history. The Hebrew scriptures are full of their stories. Now, historically, kings could be military leaders, or economy czars, social directors, or land barons. Regardless of how they perceived their functional roles, their subjects looked to them for leadership. But could people ever be sure that a reigning king or queen would protect them from threats of harm, or provide for their basic needs, or offer consistent and righteous moral guidance? Usually kings fell short in one manner or another. To become a leader simply by privilege of birth does not guarantee one's legacy of greatness. Maybe that is why the era of kings and queens as leaders of nations is all but over in favor of republics or other forms of governing. And yet, today, the Catholic Church celebrates the solemn feast of Christ, the King. In his historical novel, 1776, author David McCullough gives an account of an early year in our country's battle for independence from Great Britain. McCullough searched both sides of the Atlantic in gathering content. His opening chapter highlights a speech given by King George III to the British Parliament regarding the mounting unrest in the American colonies. The author effectively oriented the reader to the attitude and the aura of the King of England, leaving a vivid picture that which many Americans at the time found so offensive. With great detail, McCullough first described the King's short ride from his palace to Parliament, where he would deliver his speech. Just give you a little excerpt from his description. The enormous coach the King had commissioned for his parade was 13 feet high, 24 feet long, and weighed nearly 4 tons. The coach was built so that he would be seen in all his grandeur, while being protected from the crowds whom he was able to look down on, literally, if not figuratively. The carriage had a huge gold crown on its roof and golden sea gods over each of the massive wheels as a reminder that the king ruled even the open seas. What an image McCullough generated for minds to ponder. Here's the image of our king. Obviously, there are some very clear differences in the personalities of George III and Christ as king. In fact, in the case of the historical Jesus, right from the beginning, his story was dramatically different. Contrary to showing off his privilege, Christ chose to empty himself of his glorified state to become one of us, a commoner. The only ride Jesus had was on a donkey. And his reign began not upon an elevated throne, but high on a cross. And when Christ looked down, instead of cheering throngs trying to push toward him, Jesus saw his friends scurrying away. Those who were brave enough to look back may have viewed Christ with profound sadness and even pity, certainly not looking up to him in that moment in awe. This is a picture quite different from that of George III being cheered by enormous crowds as he rode through his kingdom. So, starting out and ending his life on earth as he did, how is it that today we recognize Christ as King of the universe? The answer is his legacy. In his earthly life, until the moment of his death, as just described, Jesus had a magnetism and charisma that pulled people toward him, friends and foes alike. To this day, his words pierce deeply as a double-edged sword, as Scripture says. Christ's rules for living cannot be improved upon. That fact was discovered quickly by his followers after the resurrection, when everything that Christ taught them started to make sense. The apostles conformed to the teaching of Jesus Christ because they recognized the legitimacy of his leadership. even civic leaders of that time and soon thereafter eventually recognized that the way of Jesus Christ could bring order and peace to society. And so Christianity even became the official religion of the Roman Empire. As we finish the liturgical year today on this feast of Christ the King, can we look back on the teachings of Jesus, which we have been hearing and praying over throughout the year, with that same respect for their legitimacy? The hope is that these teachings will direct our lives, as it did the apostles, so that we may honor the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and accept our gift of salvation through him. We show our acceptance of his precepts by demonstrating them, not merely hearing them. We are called to live them. As a little side note, Catholic bishops have asked that we celebrate religious freedom on this feast day. They remind us that Pope Pius XI instituted today's feast in 1925 to respond to the growing secularism and atheism in societies. Almost 100 years ago, growing secularism. He recognized that attempting to thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of public life would result in continuing discord among people and nations. This solemnity reminds us that while governments come and go, Christ reigns as king forever. Kind of hard for me to believe, but this week, in a couple of days, we're going to acknowledge the 59th anniversary of President John Kennedy's death. I know some of you aren't old enough to remember it, but I am. Kennedy's family was often referred in those days as the closest we ever came in this country to having a royal family. Now, that would never happen today, but in those days it did. Those of us who were alive at the time may remember that well. Yet, a quote from his first inaugural speech that I had forgotten over the years reveals how he perceived himself and his family. After his famous "Ask what you can do for your country" statement in his speech, Kennedy finished with, quote, "Here on earth, God's work must truly be our own." In other words, with all the power of his family and his office, Kennedy challenged us to respond to the one who has the real power and who is ultimately in charge. The legacy of a king who looks down on his subjects from a privileged position is destined to be short-lived. But the legacy of Christ high on the cross is that he looks out for his people. The soldiers in today's gospel had it all wrong when they jeered at Jesus because he could not save himself. He never intended to. His mission was to save his people, the ones his Father entrusted to him. The sign of a good king is one who protects, teaches, encourages, provides for, and ultimately saves his people. The reign of King George came to an end with his death in 1820, and he is all but forgotten by most. The reign of Elizabeth II ended earlier this year after 7 decades. We are already moving on. But the reign of Christ is not constrained by the longevity of the king. Christ reigns forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.